said that, hallelujah, I want you to go with me. Go with me, go with me, go with me. With your eyes, your hearts, and your minds wide open to the book of Dr. Luke, chapter 24, verses 29 through 36. St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 29 through 36. And I'll begin to read. And I won't hold you long today. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and to them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. As led by the Holy Spirit, we need to proclaim and repeat over and over and over and over again to our minds and our bodies, our souls, and in our atmosphere, peace be unto you. I dare you to walk, to think, to live, to work, to perform even greater works in the confidence of Jesus Christ, speaking to us through his written word that we have shared this morning. Peace be unto you. We find here in our text today an exchange between our risen Lord and his chosen 11 disciples, along with the other two disciples from Emmaus. In his resurrected state, Jesus miraculously materializes right before his disciples' plain sight. His body, again, defying the laws of space and time, the laws of gravity, the laws of physics, the laws of materials and property, just like he did when he walked on water, Jesus defies the laws of nature and enters into a room, an open room, through closed doors. They had locked themselves in, and the door was shut. That reality check just by itself, the reality check of Jesus and his ability to walk through a gated community, if you will, should remind of his well-placed question to Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There is nothing. I just want to just tell you that this morning. There's nothing that our God cannot do. While the disciples were hiding in fear within a closed room, within their own gated community, Jesus enters into their world unannounced. Think about that, unannounced. There are no trumpets. There are no introductions. There is no order of worship, no devotional prayer, no A and B selection, no praise and worship, no offertory appeal. Jesus, in real time, is just suddenly right there in their very midst. I can hear the word reminding us that just like then, so it is right now, that where even two or three, are gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing in the perfect will of God. Jesus has declared that I shall be in the midst of them. I believe that this morning, and by faith, further declare that the Spirit of Christ is with us even now. We were meeting virtually, but he is with us even right now. At this moment, Emmanuel, God be with us, is present with us now. And as he is with us at this very moment, he is speaking through the scriptures again to us. A fresh word, and saying this, peace be unto you. Consider, if you will, and I'm struggling with this myself, so I need you to do it with me, but consider, if you will, what would have been your first words to your leadership team once you had been resurrected from an unjustified homicide at the hands of a trumped up charge under the authority of foreign oppression, legally declared as capital punishment. The cross was a symbol of Rome's capital punishment, solely reserved for people that didn't look like them. Romans were not brutes. Romans were not crucified. The cross was for others. It wasn't for Roman citizens. It was for those who were outsiders. So consider with me this morning, if you had gone through the ridicule experienced by our Lord Jesus, if you had been mocked and beaten, slapped, spit upon, flesh ripped from your body, forced to bear your own cross up to that old rugged hill. Like the song said, there's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. If you had been crucified as a just man, as a just woman, and while hanging there, mocked again, told to save yourself like you had saved so many others, if you had accepted the responsibility for others to hang on a tree, cursed are those who hang on a tree, if you had to experience a public lynching right there before your own mama, pissed in your side while both blood and water comes out, and eventually succumb to physical death, and even worse than that, being separated from your heavenly Father. When you consider all of that, what would be your first words to your leadership team that had abandoned you? Critical hour. Would you blame anyone? Would you discuss retaliation? Would you talk about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Would you discuss the lack of justice? What would be on your business agenda during your first meeting with your leadership team? Think about that for a moment with me. For those who are new creations in Christ, those who are no longer dead women walking, dead men walking, what would your first words be? And now, because you're in Christ, now that you're in Christ, what were your first words this morning? And what will your first words be each and every morning? Have we, because I'm not exempt from this. I count myself to not have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I'm trying to forget those things which are behind me, and I'm trying to press toward the mark of the prize of the high God, of the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. But I've got to ask this question. Have we arrived at a place of maturity? Not absolute perfection, not sinlessness. That's not where we are, but just maturity, where our first thoughts And words can be of peace, not of evil, but of good. I can hear in a volume of the book in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, say something like this. Finally, brothers, finally, sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So I ask you this morning, are you thinking on things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are uplifting, that are reflective of being free from the pain of the past to live a life of victory in the present and for the future? In Luke chapter 24, we find here that the first words of Jesus Christ to his hand-selected 11 disciples, including Simon Peter, who had denied him 3 times before his death. He says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. That word peace. And Elder Bobby, it took me some time to study this to come to some maturity this morning, but that word peace, shalom, was customarily used in a Hebrew tradition as a way of saying hello or goodbye. Here, I believe that Jesus is saying both hello and goodbye. I believe he is saying peace, shalom, as a way of saying hello in light of his fresh resurrection and reacquaintance with his 11 disciples after the cross. But I also believe he is saying peace, shalom, as a goodbye and further preparation of his impending departure and ascension to be at the right hand of the Father. As the word peace is used in Scripture, and by Jesus on this occasion, the word never means the absence of trials. The word does not mean the absence of tribulations. It does not mean the absence of confusion and conflict. Listen to me this morning. The scriptures do not promise those who walk by faith a life that is stress-free. In fact, the scriptures say that those who walk godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you listening to his voice with me this morning? The word peace points to our Father who was in the Son, reconciling us all back unto himself. And because reconciliation has been effected for every believer, we have the peace. We have the blessed assurance that in spite of unjust and even pandemic circumstances, our peace with the Father remains intact. Indeed, the scriptures say, now we know that all things, good things and bad things, all things, the unjust thing and the just thing, all things, the unloving things, the Jim Crow things, the racist things, the sexist things, the hurtful things, all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Family, I'm so glad this morning that he does not call the qualified. My testimony is this. I wasn't qualified, y'all. And to be honest with you, I am still not qualified. But thank God, he does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Hallelujah. He qualifies the call. So now we as true believers, those who are walking in Christ, we know that all things are working to his predestined goodwill for our future. and our hope in him? Are you willing to accept the promises of God through the Son as inspired by the Holy Ghost to know that all things are working together for our good, our peace, our prosperity, our health, our well-being? St. John chapter 14 of the New Living Translation, verses 25 through 30. Jesus said this in anticipation of his predestined course to become our Bitcoin, if you will, as the ransom payment for our sin. And I'll read it. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace, hallelujah, and the peace I give is a gift to the world. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you will be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. We hear and see the prophetic words of peace and victory spoken by Jesus prior to his physical death and bodily resurrection as he comforts his disciples as to the events to come. His earlier prophetic word of peace before the cross had even more weight and reality after his resurrection as he speaks to his disciples in the closed room, in a bodily bruise, but not broken or crushed down by the harsh circumstances of life. I can hear his prophetic covenant of victorious peace and power call out unto us even more this morning, the body of Christ everywhere, every believer under the sound of his loving voice, and remind us in our awakened and quickened minds that Satan has no power over us. This joy that we have, Satan can't take it from us. This peace that we have, Satan cannot take it from us. This love that we have, Satan cannot take it from us. Sin has no power over us. Death has no power over us. Racism has no power over a believer. Sexism has no power over the believer. Brutality, power over the believer. This beautiful Sunday morning, as we continue to celebrate springtime Tallahassee, the Lord's Day, Jesus is speaking to our minds and our ears. And let those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto me. Peace be unto my wife. And peace be unto my husband, my father, my mother. Peace be unto my brothers. And peace be unto my sister. Peace be unto my children. Oh, God, peace be unto Elliot and to Alexia and to Sydney and to Danielle. Peace be unto my family. Peace be unto my neighbors. Peace be unto my co-workers. Peace be unto my classmates. Just peace. Will you believe that with me this morning and speak in the atmosphere over your life? Peace. In the crossroads of a pandemic and panic, peace. In the crossroads of a vaccine and making the decision to get vaccinated, peace. In the crossroads of praying for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of our own nation, just peace. Now more than ever before, we need to think peace and meditate on peace and speak peace and live peace. We need to work peace and play peace and cook peace and read peace and hear peace, sing peace. If you're going to rap, rap peace. When you learn, learn peace. When you pursue, pursue peace. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the author wrote, under the power of the Holy Spirit, follow peace. Oh, that means pursue it. But follow peace with all men. And I know God don't respect a person, women too. But follow peace with all men and holiness without no man, no woman shall see the Lord. As I bring this around and to a close, my good friend and brother yesterday, Brother Paul told me, and he also texted me, so I won't be able to forget it or miss it. And he told me in the context of our conversation that he read on someone's bumper sticker. Paul lives in Denver, Colorado, but Paul was riding around, and he saw this on the bumper sticker. I don't know why he's talking about this to me yesterday, but obviously God was moving on him, and he deposited this seed in me, and now you bear the fruit. And the bumper sticker said this: when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will be at peace. Are you listening to the unquestionable truth this morning? Jesus Christ, his hair white as wool and feet as bronze, the risen Lord, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the President of presidents. Are you listening to Jesus Christ and his word with me this morning? When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will be at peace. My brothers and sisters, I would not have you ignorant. If it ain't love, it ain't God. And loved, L-O-V-E-D, people. Love, L-O-V-E, people. In other words, and this is my subject for today, know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know peace, K-N-O-W. And I say that because if you don't know Jesus, know Jesus, then you won't know peace. So know Jesus so you can know peace. Because if you don't know Jesus, you certainly will have no peace. There